talk a little bit this morning about doing the hard work that's necessary to sustain a move of God. And a lot of that hard work is pretty mundane. Now, I'll also say this to you guys. I consider some of you I don't know very well, but I'm going to consider everybody here a leader. And I'm going to speak directly to you this morning. My intention is not, if I offend, it's my apology. But you guys know that Jesus does not mind offending you. Y'all know that? Man, yeah, sorry. Jesus does not mind offending you. I don't want to do that. I hate giving offense. You know, I'm a pastor. I really dislike it. But I'm going to tell you that your God will offend you. I one time spoke in this way, and a woman, a really sweet woman at a large church, came up afterwards a bit disturbed and said, "My Jesus has never offended me." And I didn't snark. You know what I wanted to say? You don't know her very well, know him very well. Because he will. You remember when he turned to the Syrophoenician woman? What did he say to her? He called her a dog, right? Long after he's gone, that woman's still going to be coming to Israel. And that's what they're going to call her. She's a Gentile. And he wanted to see if she would push through that offense, and she did. And then he said, "There you are. There you are." Now, we're coming to a point here in Davidson County, Middle Tennessee. We're coming to a point. I believe God wants to do amazing things. Are you ready? Hey, I want to say this. The last time that he moved in power, we were not ready. We were not ready. You know, sometimes when we talk about seeking revival, we have no idea what we're asking about. Because when God moves in power, it tests your character. Good things test your character just like bad things test your character. You know that? And sometimes what God has in mind is not what you've got in mind. Jeremiah 45, Jerusalem's in ruins. Baruch is Jeremiah's scribe. It's his job to work with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is having zero success, right? He's getting thrown into wells. He's getting persecuted. It's terrible. Jerusalem is in ruins. Think the book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah has a word to Baruch. Baruch, why are you wandering around all day saying, "Woe is me"? Don't you know I pluck up everything I plant? Don't you know I turn over everything I build up? I build it up. I turn it over. I plant it. I pluck it up. Do not seek great things for yourself. Brothers and sisters, you did not cause the pandemic. You did not cause the collapse of 2008. Whatever it was, that was not about you. Now, yeah, God was working in your story and working in your church, but a lot of you lost church members. One of our elders' wives died. My goodness. When God chooses to move, sometimes he plants and incredible things grow. Sometimes he plucks it up. And for leaders, you better make sure that you're ready for that. Now, in particular, I'd say when God brings success. The Church of Jesus Christ is not ready. Now, we say that as leaders, right? But we've got a unique call to prepare the bride. We want her to be beautiful, don't we? I love this church, Mark. I'm emotional. I love this church. Of course, I've known you and Angie for a while. Grant and Sarah, I pray for y'all every day. One of my calls is prayer. I pray every morning on the front porch and every night on the back porch. The front porch, I do my liturgy. And the back porch, I do freestyle. Y'all do know a guy works through liturgy, don't you? Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts and kindle them in the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. 1000 AD. Yeah. Probably earlier than that. God works through liturgy. I do my liturgy every morning on my front porch, and I do my freestyle on the back porch at night. And then I go through a list of churches in the morning, and I pray for those churches. I love this church. I think God has a call to bring unity to the body of Christ and his very presence through this place. And now, not just to put you on the spot, I want you to be ready. Because I don't want success to blow you up. Y'all know the Jesus movement came through Nashville. Now I'm gonna mess this up for you folks who were, anybody here during the Jesus movement? Larry, where were you living at the time?
Louisiana.
This is one of our fellow pastors in the Mount Juliet area. I pray for Larry and Ann, his wife, every day. Abundant Life has been a rich blessing to our church. We are sister churches. Oh, I'll tell you about this pastor. We ran into some nonsense with a leader not long ago that we had to address. It was heretical, the thing that they were doing. We had to address it. He also had some influence among some in Larry's church, and we told one of the members what was going on and what we were doing. That member went to Larry and said, "Hey, this is what Pastor Wade, this is my pastor back here, raise your hand, Wade. We've been together 26. He was my associate, and now I'm his associate." Oh, you know, things can happen in the kingdom of God that aren't normal. You know that, don't you? Are you ready? Are you ready to step out of leadership and turn it over to younger pastors? We have 5 new pastors in the last 6 years or whatever. We raised them all up. Now, my ministry is mostly in the community. Are you ready? Can you do that? What Larry did, they came to Larry and said, "What should we do about this?" And he said, "Hey, if Pastor Wade says this is so-and-so, and Pastor Phil, we're doing the same thing." Whoa. He didn't even need to know. Why? Because he loves us and trusts us.
Yeah, there you are.
Do you love and trust each other well enough to? My goodness, those days are coming. And they're going to come so quickly. And you're going to have to make quick decisions. You know, you're going to have to make quick decisions like a SWAT team. With a SWAT team, everybody knows their job, right? Nobody stops in the middle of it and goes, "I don't like that. Why are you doing it that way?" Wait a minute. You're about to get blown up. Now, guys, back during the Jesus movement in Nashville, and I want to say all this with the deepest honor and respect. I've been here a long time. And I have been loved well by leaders here in Nashville, and by my church, and by so many. I hope you've been loved well. But we weren't ready. I came to the Lord in 1976 at football camp, my senior year, went to McGavock High School. The Spirit of God fell on Camp Nokomi. I was there for 3 days drinking Miller Ponies. You smile. You know what a Miller Pony was. All you guys over 50 know what Miller Ponies are. For 3 days, was in my cooler with my beer, just having a great time. And on that next night, a guy from Fellowship of Christian Athletes came with his guitar. He sat down on a picnic table, and he sang about Jesus. And I listened to him, and I turned and walked away. And then Steve Gregory followed me to the woods and said, "Phil, Jesus loves you." I said, "Okay." I mean, I'd heard that about 1,000,000 times, right? He turned around. I sat down on a stump and bawled. I walked into my dorm room, and there were 40 guys holding hands praying. And I just walked up and took my place. I'm in. Now, that was happening all over Middle Tennessee, everywhere. And Kylie, are you back there? Can you load that up for me? I'm going to show you guys a clip. Now, the churches that received in the Jesus movement. Cheryl Tolbert's here. Hello, Cheryl. Dear friend. Cheryl was the missions pastor at Belmont. Between 1971 and 1996, Belmont grew from 70 people to 4,000 people. Every day for a while, they'd go down to Centennial Park, and they would baptize people. It was crazy what was happening. Koinonia, all the music that came out of it was absolutely crazy. Now I'm going to say something painful. Cheryl, how many churches were planted out of Belmont in those days? I'm going to say six. Good guess. And of those six, only one still exists. Grace Center, which was Abundant Life and then became Grace Center. Every one of them failed because of sexual immorality, heresy, craziness. They're all gone. Now, what happens when God does an amazing work and their leaders aren't ready for it? Are you ready? Are you ready? My job as a pastor is help you get ready. It's pretty mundane, right? The glory is going to come, and when the glory comes, it will eat you up if you're not ready. The voice of God shatters the cedars. The voice of God is louder than the many waters, and the voice of God will convince you that you're a shaman. It'll convince you you're special, that you are the voice of God. Oh, you better be careful. It's intoxicating. The power of God's intoxicating. Now, this clip, that's Ralph Emery. How many of y'all would know who that is? Oh, a few of you. Good. That's Ralph Emery, and he is interviewing Chris Christopherson. Now, Chris Christopherson, one of the churches, none of those churches exist anymore. The Lord's Chapel, the House of Blessing, Evangel Temple, Belmont's here. Most of those churches are gone. Oh, my. At Evangel Temple, Billy Graham, not Billy Graham. I fell into a burning ring of fire. What's his name? Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, Roseanne Cash, Connie Smith. They're all coming to Jesus at Evangel Temple. The pastor's name, Jimmy Snow, Hank Snow's son. Now, I'm going to tell you what was going on while this is happening. Watch this interview. I know this story. Some of y'all may too. Now, this is Ralph Emery. He's going to be talking to Chris Christopherson. Right beside him is Willie Nelson. Now, Willie Nelson's going to be cold through this whole thing. But look at the rest of those faces as this interview takes place.
And Chris, before we do it, I'd like for you to tell the story of Why Me, Lord. I think it was inspired by Larry Gatlin, wasn't it?
Well, I was moved by a song I heard him singing in church.
Was it Help Me?
Help Me.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, yeah, it was.
Wasn't it?
It was at Jimmy Snow's church.
You took Connie Smith to church, or she took you to church?
She took me to church. The night before, we'd been down in Cookeville with a bunch of people doing a benefit for Dottie West's high school band or something. Mm-hmm. And then Connie took me over to church the next day to Jimmy Snow's church. Mm-hmm. And I had a profound religious experience during the session, something that I had never had happened to me before. And Why Me came out of it.
It was a very personal experience then.
Yes, it was. It was. Everybody was kneeling down, and Jimmy said something like, "If anybody's lost, please raise their hand." And I was kneeling there, and I don't go to church a lot. And the notion of raising my hand was out of the question. And I thought, I can't imagine who's doing this. And all of a sudden, I felt my hand going up. And I was hoping nobody else was looking, because everybody had their head over, bend over, praying. And then he said, if anybody is ready to except Jesus, something like this, come down to the front of the church. And I thought that would never happen. And I found myself getting up and walking down with all these people and going down there. And I don't really know what he said to me. He said something to me like, "Are you ready to accept Jesus Christ in your life," or something. I said, "I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing there." And he put me down said, kneel down here. And he, I can't even remember what he was saying, but whatever it was such a release for me that I find myself weeping in public. I felt this forgiveness that I didn't know I even needed.
Could we get you and Janie Frickie and Willie to do this?
We'll sing harmony. You Ooh. Bet.
We're well, right we'll here. Try. I'll do it in G, and I hope I don't mess up the band again. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I go through myself on my way back. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I'm needed, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Souls in your hand. Thank you.
Could you see Lori Morgan's face over there? I mean, you guys have been around ministering to people for years. You can see the spirit on somebody. Is that Bobby Bear? Didn't look like he could hardly sing. And there's that B.J. Thomas back there. Now, that was happening all over Jimmy Snow's church. It was crazy. Every time they would have a service, people would run down front and get saved. Now, this would be like today. I don't know country music artists. I'm not a music guy, but just name a few, you know. Alan Jackson, who he's probably not even performing anymore. This is like Alicia Keys, and, you know, this is who this was. Now, you would think in your church, if that was happening, you would know you had a sacred trust, right? Now, while this is going on, that pastor is having affairs. Multiple. And he was confronted by Mike Evilsizer, one of our dear Trace Diaz brothers. And that pastor turned to him and told him he was wrong, he was lying, and fired him. Set him down. I think Jimmy Snow's dead now, and I'm not trying to malign him. I'm sure he was brought to repentance at some point. It shut it down. What is it about success and it goes to our heads? You with me? Yeah, Chris.
Called
ego.
Edging God out.
Yeah, that's good. And guys, I'm telling you, you know, when God calls leaders and gives them assignment and asks them to do extraordinary things, and people start coming up to him and saying, man, what a good job. Y'all remember Awaken Nashville a few years ago, that Dave Clayton and Ethos, I'm friends with all those guys. I'm not bragging on names. I've got churches in my life with 20 people and churches in my life with 4,000 people, and they're all the same to me. They just are. God told me that. So I'm not doing the thing I'm talking about. Well, Dave asked Connie and I to help out on stage on the first, so I guess both of them, the Awaken Nashville, they did the Ryman. And they put my mugshot up there and did a video thing with me. I told Dave, I got to detox after that. What's it like when people know your name? And people don't know my name, but after that, what's it like? God wants to use you guys. Is your heart ready? Now, when it comes to in using you, it's the most mundane things that are going to determine whether you stand or fall. There's not a secret. If I walk around here, will this do okay? Yeah, I don't want to mess it up. There's not a secret in my life this brother doesn't know. Not a secret in my life. In our church, we have a requirement. It's not a written down requirement. It's a relational requirement. I'm not going to hide from you. Okay? I'm not allowed a negative private life. I'm allowed a private life. I'm not allowed a negative private life. Do y'all live that way? Some of you do. Gonna be pointed. I don't know you very well, but some of you do. Some of you don't. In the name of Jesus, I call you, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to hear the voice of God. You are not allowed a negative private life. Now, when the glory of God comes, it's those types of things that test us. Now, the idea of God coming to his people, I want to talk about a little bit, and I want to share a dream that I've mentioned here before. Jerry, how are we on time? 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Okay.
All right. There's a biblical motif from the Old Testament that's not understood very well, and that's this picture of God coming to his people. Now, as evangelical Christians, when we read the New Testament, every time it talks about the plantation owner returning, okay, or the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory, we think through it like we would if we were reading a Scofield Bible. We don't think through it the way that a Jew would think through it. God came to his people over and over and over and over again, right? Now, he is going to come in glory at the end of times and wrap everything up, and Jesus is going to appear in the clouds of glory in the eschaton. He's going to bring it all to a close. That day is coming. But between now and that day, he's still going to come to his people. Now, one of the motifs from the Old Testament that relates to that is the great and terrible day of the Lord. In that biblical Old Testament motif, the great and terrible day of the Lord, prophetically, was a day when God pulled close to his people by grace, and great grace was offered, and great judgment, right? Both judgment and grace. And a good example of is Malachi, the last chapter in the Old Testament, chapter 4 of Malachi. On that day, what day? That great and terrible day of the Lord, when he pulls close to his people. On that day, the evil are going to be burned up like stubble. But for those who revere my name, you will leap out of the stall like a calf. Anybody raise animals? You know what that's like? I raise golden retrievers and Bernese mountain dogs. Let them out of the pen. Run. I did last night. Run in the backyard. They go bonkers. This is fun. Great grace is offered for those who are listening, and judgment for those who don't. And he goes down on that passage and he says, that day is going to come and Elijah's going to come. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers or parents, or he's going to strike the lamb with a curse. Now, we like that first part, right? That second part we do not like. Brothers and sisters, the curse has descended. We're losing them right and left, not just walking away from evangelical Christianity, but dying. Oh, my goodness. God intends to reverse that. So when he comes to his people, he will offer great grace. But if we're not ready for it, it will bust us wide open. And we'll say, come on anyways, right? Are we willing to run that risk? But you know what? I want your church to still be here after he visits his people. When he comes close, it's not only good things that come out of you, it's bad things. The theologian T.F. Torrance has talked about Israel being the anvil that God beat out his revelation on. He pulled close to Israel to reveal himself over a long period of time, and every time they went bonkers. Every time. When God pulls close to us, it's not just good stuff that comes out. Because we're dealing with this God there's a word, ambivalence, used in 1900. Ambivalence meant a strong attraction to and repulsion from the same thing. Today the word means I don't care, right? But in 1900, it meant a strong attraction to and repulsion from. When God reveals himself, I both want it and I don't. I had a dream one time of standing before five tornadoes that are just chewing the ground up. And among the tornadoes was an angel. And the angel's walking among the tornadoes and not getting hit by the debris. And the angel turned to me and looked at me and beckoned me forward, because that angel knew I wanted to do the same thing. What do I feel at that moment? Ambivalence, right? I both want to and I don't want to. And what happens when I give in to the don't want to? When God shows up and manifests his glory, there are things in us that we will have to deal with. In 2001, December, I was at our cabin, my wife and I own a cabin on the Buffalo River that we give free to Christian leaders. And so God asks us to do it, and we give it free. We don't charge. All we ask is they clean up, and they've done a good job doing that. So our cabin is free if any of you guys would like to go. So I was down there, and I had a dream. I had three stages of the dream in the same night. In the first stage of the dream, I'm watching a minister, pastor minister, and a voice says, I've invested much in this man. I'm coming to him for my interest. Now get the dual play on interest, right? It's in God's interest, and he's coming to us for his interest. So I got up and I wrote it down. This is serious. Okay. And I went back to sleep. Immediately I had another dream. And God's looking over, Christ is looking over Middle Tennessee. And he says, I've invested much in this region. I am coming to Middle Tennessee for my interest. So I woke up, I wrote it down. This is serious. Went back to sleep. Immediately was dreaming again, and I'm standing by Jesus looking into a stream of water. He reaches down and pulls out some smooth stones. He said, with these smooth stones, these are my leaders. I'm going to take down the enemy with these stones. You see all those other stones? They're not ready. I can't use them. Now, I don't know what to do with that. The coming of the Lord and his power, like the Jesus movement, it may be here. It may be here a year from now. It may be here 6 years. Maybe it's 30 years away. Can you remember in the Old Testament, sometimes he gave a word that didn't happen for 40 years, right? So I'm not making any grand claims to know when this is going to be taking place. I am telling you, I sat on that until, wait, how long ago? 2 months ago? Yeah, and I shared it with the elders, and I said, I am feeling such a deep desire to move into a new place of getting the body ready, because I think this is coming. What should I do with this? And the elder said, send it out. Now, here's a word for you prophetic folks. Do you have a group of folks that you submit to? I submit to my elders. If they had said, don't send it out, I wouldn't send it out. You with me? Holding a prophetic word is not just receiving something from God, it's also the ability for him to look at you and do this. And if you can't hold on to it, don't give it. You're going to hurt people. He intends, we say this all the time, he is giving power tools to his people for the things that are coming up. But if you're not careful, you're going to cut your leg off. So he's training you right now, and that training is mundane. I'm not allowed a negative private life. I let my yes be yes and my no be no. Anything more of that is of the evil one. What does Jesus mean by that? Y'all interpret. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that is of the evil one. What's he saying? Don't manipulate. Don't try to twist things with your words. Don't try to set up the outcome. It's not an excuse for being rude, but it is a call to be clear. You with me? Don't act like you're somebody's best friend if you're not. The simple things. How you doing on the computer? I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. We have this, Wade, how are you on the computer? This is what we do. Wade has his testimony, his own line of God setting him free of sexual sin. He's our lead pastor. And this brother, every week, has a group of men that he gets together with and tells his story to. Every week. How you doing on the computer? Hey, it's grace right now. Jesus is coming to his people. There's grace right now. You don't want that exploded, right? As a young pastor, I had the gift of grace of the Lord confronting me. The Lord confronting me. I was not into porn. I set that aside, but he came to me in a special way, and he said, Phil Dillingham, my son. You know, when he says that to you, you better listen, right? My daughter, if you ever get into porn, I will take you apart limb by limb. Your butt is mine. I will embarrass you in front of everyone. You got me? I said, yes, sir. I've never pulled up a pornographic website. I did one time trying to figure out where my kids had gone, but besides that, I've never pulled one up. Am I bragging? I am not. I fear God. I fear God. And I fear the responsibility that I will be held accountable. I believe Jimmy Snow is saved, but brothers, I don't want to stand in glory and have to answer those questions about people I've ruined. Are you sure you want revival? It will be costly to you and to everybody around you. Are you sure? What does it take to get ready for revival? And I'll end on this motif. John the Baptist, Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Now, we got layers of theology about what all that means. Here's what the Jew would hear. Change your agenda. Some of your agendas are good. Some of them are bad. Whatever they are, new day's coming. Those agendas got to go. Some of those good agendas got to be changed, and some of those bad agendas have got to go, because the rule of God's at hand. He's been promising he's going to return to Jerusalem. He's coming. The euangelion, Greek word, Septuagint, meant in a Greek context, it means Caesar reigns. In a Jewish context, it means God reigns. It's coronation terminology. God's about to reign. He's coming to his people. When he comes to his people, are you ready? Repent of your agendas. Now, when they came to John and said, okay, what does that mean, John? He said, well, if you got two tunics, share one of them. If you're forced to carry a, don't attack your enemies. Don't attack your enemies. I had a guy pull a knife on me. That's a long story, but he lost his mind. He would hike all the way from Hermitage to sleep in my front yard because he found love, right? You know, crazy people will seek out love. I love this guy. He would hike all the way from Hermitage and sleep in my front yard so he could see me get up the next day. He lost his mind. He chased me around my yard with a knife. I did the best kung fu move I've ever done. I ran. And I got about this far from him, and I yelled his name. I said, "What are you doing?" And he smiled at me and punctured my tire and ran off to the woods. Crazy, crazy as a bat. Why am I telling that story? I forgot where I was going. Grace. I'm a gun owner. I wouldn't shoot that man. I'd rather be stuck than kill him. I'm a gun owner. I've got another situation I won't go into, but I was envisioning last night, might have another crazy person knocking on my door for long. He's really furious at someone else, but he knows that I've helped protect that person. I thought, no, I'm not going to shoot that person. That was the advice John the Baptist gave. If a Roman soldier makes you carry that pack, you carry it. He slaps you across the face, you turn your other cheek. Why is all that important? Because when God comes to his people, your character will be tested. And your church will go away if you are not ready for it. Now come. Come, Lord Jesus. And we got to do the hard work. What is that hard work? 1,000 things. And I'm going to leave that question to you. You're about to have guests. They're going to take the roof off and come in. They're going to come in through the windows. The kingdom of God is going to forcefully advance, and every crazy person who thinks they should lead is going to put their hands on it. It's going to be wild. Are you ready? What do you need to do to get your house ready for guests? They're coming. Jesus is coming to Middle Tennessee, and he is coming for his interest. And you want to be one of those that turn to him and he says, "Well done, here's 10 more cities. Well done, here's 10 more talents." You want to be ready, right? Well, what does it mean for you to get ready? What does it mean? I'm going to stop for about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to pray a psalm that came to me in a dream. I'll tell you that story some other time. All the folks at Priest Lake know this psalm by heart. Stop for 30 seconds. You let the Lord in your house and let him tell you what you need to get ready. And be prepared for it to be pretty mundane, right? A lot of us be ready to reach for the guitar, reach for the Bible, and go up front. What happens when he tells you to love your neighbor next door and quit shooting their dog with your BB gun? Because they're digging up your flowers. So let's stop for 30 seconds. You listen to God. Nobody's going to ask you. Now do the things that he showed you to do, like washing the Jordan River, even if it doesn't make any sense. Do the mundane things he showed you to do, because he's serious about his glory. He's coming. And now a psalm of forgiveness. This came to me in a period of 3 days with a dream with all sorts of strange experiences. In the dream, the Lord said, "I am giving you Psalm 32 for strong-willed men. They're strong, they're stunning, and they're worthless because they don't know how to fit into community. Psalm 32 will function as a spring-loaded hinge. You'll open it and you'll close it. Through the opening and closing of Psalm 32, I will structure strong-willed men's lives." Now, all you strong-willed women are somebody else's job. Kidding. So, and I wasn't looking at anybody for any particular reason. So you can look it up on your phone if you want to, or you can Psalm 32, or you can just close your eyes and listen to it. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. No deceit, no deceit. When I remain silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach you. You are my hiding place. You surround me with songs of deliverance. You protect me. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule that have no understanding, and they have to be controlled by a bit of bridle, or they won't come to you. Do not be a hard-headed jackass, says the Lord. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous, seeing all you who are upright in heart. Now receive the word of the Lord in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Would you guys come? We're just going to ask that the word that the Lord has given to our brother strikes the mark and bears the lasting fruit. And we'd like to just pray for you and bless you in the role that God has in the days that are ahead. We need strong words. We need fathers who are not afraid to discipline sons. So, Father, we thank you for this man, this testimony of a life well lived, influencing people from one nation to the next and throughout our whole region. And we want to ask that abundant blessing fall upon your house. Increase, multiplication, strength, grace, provision. Because I know if it's in your hands, you'll release it. It won't stay there. And so I bless you to receive so you can give. I bless you to be faithful and finish well this race you have committed to. We just extend our hands toward you and bless you. In Jesus' name.
Phil. When you received the Keeper of the Flame Award, and I don't know when that was it was the
last
beginning
year.
Of the year?
Last year.
It was last
September,
year, and I gave you a word out of Judges 3. Do you remember it? Because you said, after, you want me to do this one? At first, I didn't know if you received it, or you made a comment like you weren't sure about it, how you could do that. Do you remember saying that to me? Okay, so knowing you were going to be here today and just asking God about you, Judges 3, I just want to go over quickly that little story because Ehud was raised up as a judge. Hebrew, do you remember this? His name meant unity. And that was the calling that God was putting on you, like Ehud, to come against the king, Eglon, which meant cycles. And I told you, God is going to, he's raising you up. And he is going to use you to break cycles. And this is part of this. It's like you, this was so pure today and sobering and convicting and real. I'm very grateful for you. But that's not the word I have for you. But I just wanted you to remember that word. You are living out what it is to be. You're creating unity in the body. And there was a lot more to that story. But I just wanted to say, you are doing this. You're really living it out. So I'm thinking about you this morning, and I'm like, God, what's one word you would give him? And it's John 1:16 about Jesus. And it said, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And the word for you today is fullness. And I'm just going to read a Greek translation. It means a ship inasmuch as it is filled. A ship that's been manned with sailors and rowers and soldiers. a body of believers that are filled with the presence and the power, the agency and the riches of God and of Christ. And that's the word for you, the word fullness. The Lord Jesus is saying out of heaven, his fullness is coming to you. And the fruit of it is going to be a filled ship, a manned ship, a ship with soldiers, and the agency, the riches and fullness of the living God, and grace for grace. Will you receive that?
Let me say, that word has been meaning a lot to me lately, and we even sang it today. And when we sang it today, I felt it just go through my system. So for whatever all that means, I appreciate that. So thank you.
You're stamped with fullness, and it's coming from the Lord Jesus, and he's filled with treasure. He is the it man. I mean, it's him, and he is that generous, like a person that you could know, and that you people always love, like the giving person, the person you have the clout, you're the one that can make things happen because you have the goods. And the Lord's saying, that is Jesus, and he's giving that to you right now. Amen. Will you receive that? Okay. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Phil. Amen. Boy, today was just such a blessing. It's just such an honor to not only have you in the house, but the way that you love and you care for people. The way that you love. The way that you love. When you love somebody, you're willing to say the hard things. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, and so often, especially in the body of Christ, we always gravitate toward gummy bears. We want the good stuff. We want the stuff that make us happy and smile. But I tell you, especially when you go around those places and you're navigating difficult times and you're trying to make sense, you don't pull the gummy bears closer to you in those times. You pull the people that are willing to say the hard things because you trust them. And you are not only a bridge in this city, but you're a trusted man of God.
Yes.
You're not a man of fluff. You're a man who speaks the truth, but yet you do it with so much love. And it was so clear today because you have such a heart for this city and this region. And so, Father God, I just thank you. We thank you for Phil Dillingham. Lord, we thank you for our brother. We thank you, Lord, for his boldness, his courage, his willingness to not just say the tough things just to say them, but Lord, he's got your heart. And Lord, he's got your eyes. I thank you, God, for the way that you are using him as a bridge to not only connect and unify the body of Christ, but Lord, to also prepare us for the work that you are doing mm-hmm. and what you are bringing to this region. Lord, we honor this mighty man of God who seeks after you, who runs after you. Lord, who prostrates himself before you.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, enters in before your presence with fear and trembling because he wants to honor you first and foremost. He's not a man who
yes.
wants to create a platform, wants to create a voice or even manipulate things. Lord, his hands are open and he makes himself available.
Yes.
And so, Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, I pray, blessings over his family, over their church, God. Even in this time, in this season, Lord, just expand the reach. Expand the reach. Lord, I thank you for the greater connectivity and the greater sense of family and the greater kingdom purpose, Lord, that you are uniting Phil in. God, we honor him. And Lord, we receive this word today, not just to let it go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, to truly grab hold of this and wrestle with it and allow you to do what only you can do in our hearts and minds. We say yes, no matter the cost, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, and for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And the church said amen. As Carl comes with this word, I want to say thanks to everyone who's come today. This message needs to be passed on. You'll find it at the Facebook page. And I really challenge you to send it to someone that needs to hear it. This is our last gathering until August, but what a word to chew on in these next few days. Please pass it on. So grateful for that word today. Carl, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I feel like the Lord, you know how it is, like I got it, Lord, I just want to sit there. But the Lord wanted me to stand with you as leaders in the region and the city. And Phil, your question at the beginning is like, we're not ready, or are we ready? And I felt like the Lord says, you can say yes. And I wanted to say for our response as leaders, like we can tell the Lord, and we've even been getting this at the well. It's like, I'm just saying yes, Lord. But where we're not ready, discipline. Welcoming the Lord to guard us and to surround us with that. Either elders or good counsel, and leaders being willing to receive it. So, Lord, I respond for my brothers and sisters that we say yes. Yes, Lord, we say yes to the time. We say yes that we're ready, but where we're not ready, fix us, change us, help us to repent quick, help us to stay low. I also agree that this is not going to be a revival of rock stars. It's not going to be, nobody's going to get credit except Jesus, and that's going to be our safe place. And where we feel like we're carrying fire and a message, he's going to hide us in that fire, in that message, so that we can do the work that the church is called to do for this day. It's going to look different. It's not going to look like the Jesus movement. It's not going to look like other revivals. So you're not going to be able to latch on to something. And part of that is this hiddenness. And you're not going to care who gets credit. Jerry's got it today. Yeah, yeah, but you might have been doing the work. Or Mark's got it. Or this church. Or that ministry. And we're going to rejoice in the glory of God. Because the glory is going to cover us in this time. Because it's time. I believe it's now. I believe it started to land. We've seen things like, and I can't get my head around it. And the Lord says, because it's not about you, you do your part. Bless what I'm doing and stay hidden in it. But give me a yes. And don't let the enemy make you afraid of the discipline as he refines us in the process.
And I believe the Lord is saying, the hiddenness, says the Lord, the hiddenness. My church does not believe that what I show in the hiddenness, that I am trustworthy enough to take that and do what I want to with it. And so I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, you're dead on. And so I want to just publicly bless that in the name of Jesus. I bless that. I bless that place of hiddenness in every one of you. I bless your prayer closet, your back porch, your front porch, your side room, wherever it is. I bless it. Don't give it up. In the name of Jesus, I bless it. I bless that spot. I bless that thin place, that spot between heaven and earth that's right there in your own house, in your own yard. I bless it. And I pray for a new power. And I feel the Holy Spirit doing this. Yeah. You don't have to go tell everybody. Let me take the time. Let me reveal it to you. I am your father and your friend. I want to show it to you. I will determine the time I release it.
Yeah,
not you.
But I bless that hiddenness, and I bless that hidden spot that all of us are called to in Jesus' name.
And in Jesus' name, I bless this ground. I bless this church. Wherever we meet, I bless it. We bless it. In Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit here. Come Holy Spirit here and do the work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name.
Wow. Yes, sir. Sure.
So, guys, this is about my fourth visit here. I brought guests.
And every time I've been in this church, Holy Spirit's here. This man and this man, this lady right here, this ministry, it is Spirit-filled. And I just want to take a minute and give glory and praise to them, because the first time I was here, this lady... Ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm not good with names.
Karen.
She came and thanked me for my testimony. I didn't tell you all of it. The first time I showed up here, Pastor Vargas was speaking. I got ran over on my motorcycle May 27th of last year. I've been going through a series of service, broke my neck in four places, still going through it. They were up here, and I didn't even go up there. Jeff sent me up there to ask them to come help me with my food ministry because it's mostly Hispanic. I didn't go up there to get prayed on. Somehow or another, they said, put your hand up, we're going to pray over you. And I did. Well, Pastor Vargas was praying over me, and my knees started shaking. I started having my James Brown thing going on, you know. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going down. I can't hit this floor. If I hit this floor, my neck going to be broke. I'm going to be paralyzed, and we're going to have a whole new healing thing going on. And while I was on the floor, I was pinned. Well, no, let me back up. His wife put her hand up on me and started praying in Spanish. I don't even know what she's saying. All I know is I was pinned to the floor right there where Karen's, in front of where Karen's sitting. And the Lord spoke to me. And he gave me a message. Guys, I never went to church, much less knew how to start one. And I think that's why God chose me. I wasn't tainted by religion. Every one of you who have spoke today has confirmed something God told me. All of y'all need to bring people back here. While I laid on that floor, the Lord said, my church is afflicted. But I love my church. My church is my bride. I want to forgive my bride. But my bride must repent and allow my spirit back in the church. And I laid there on that floor. I said, God, I can't do that. He said, I'm telling you, I want you to go out and I want you to preach that. And I went, Lord, it's going to be one and done. They ain't going to have me back. He said, you just go. I'll make the way. Yeah. I woke up. Now, guys, I'm telling y'all, I don't know a lot. Like I said, 3 years I've been doing this. As I got up, I was trying to dust myself off. There was gold glitter on my fingers. I didn't know what that meant. Had no clue. Didn't want to tell nobody. I thought they'd think I was having flashbacks from my addiction. I got home that night, I told my wife I had been slain in the Holy Spirit right there in that floor. I didn't want to tell her about the gold dust, but I did, and we looked it up, and I know that it was Shekinah glory. God was here, and he was present. And 2 weeks later, all these doors opened up for me to go do evangelizing. He not only gave me my assignment, he made the way. I just want to thank you, brother, for this ministry.
Bless you. Thank you so much. And Gabriel and Sherry, we welcome you from Mount Juliet and your congregation. It's Ignite. Isn't that right, the name of your? Ignite. Well, it's close. Maybe both. Ignite. Welcome, guys. We're so glad you could come today. And thank you, my friend, for... the coffee, the delicious coffee being provided by Brazilian Gold. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Watch God. He's at work.